It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the legislative session winds down and Governor Tony Evers signs into law more than a dozen Senate bills, we reflect on measures that gain traction, and you could be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jesse Opoyan is here, state government and politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jesse, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Emily Fannin here as well, Capitol reporter for WDJT-TV and host of Capitol Connection, a weekly politics show. Emily, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Emily, let's start with you. So the state Senate held what is expected to be its last floor voting period of the year. Next voting period would be in 2025. How would you characterize, summarize the year for the Wisconsin legislature?
Well, I think we have to acknowledge kind of the big hauls that we saw with a lot of bipartisan support. Of course, we hear a lot about, you know, we're in divided government. It's very difficult for things to get done. But acknowledging that, you know, lawmakers passed this massive Brewers bill to fund the stadium. They also got the sweeping shared revenue bill, which would give a boost to local governments for them to spend on, you know, EMS services, police, et cetera, other things like that. We also saw a really big bill to overhaul the state's alcohol laws. So to me, in the end, we saw this kind of big bipartisan push to get that all done. Of course, these were all bills that were signed by the governor, too. And there was a lot of closed doors meetings, which we don't see a lot between the governor's staff and GOP leaders trying to hammer out all the details of a lot of these bills. I think when you wrap up the legislative session, though, I know me and Jesse have done plenty of stories on this of kind of what got done and what didn't get done. And, you know, Tuesday, which was the state Senate's expected to be last day and scheduled day on the floor, I think it was more of a day of what didn't get done because there was two really big bipartisan bills that, you know, there's a lot of chatter about. I'm talking about the Monday processing bill that would allow clerks to process absentee ballots the day before an election. You know, we saw the governor kind of urge lawmakers on both sides to get that done. It was a bill that passed the assembly, but it never was brought to a vote on the floor last Tuesday. There was also what's called ROFR, the right of first refusal. It's a very heavy lobbied transmission line bill. I would say probably one of the most heavily lobbied bills this session at the state capitol. And we didn't see either of those bills come to the floor. And I think the big question was, well, you know, Democrats could have helped Republicans get those bills across the finish line. But talking to some lawmakers after session, they weren't really asked to get that done. And there's often what we call the rule of 17 in the state legislature, which is when all Senate Republicans want to have 17 votes to get a bill passed. Well, you know, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu didn't have that magic number of 17, and that was kind of a big reason why they didn't bring up those bills. So that was kind of how I'd wrap up kind of the last day and, you know, kind of some of the big thumbs up, I guess we saw, too, with lawmakers coming together on other items.
Yes, thank you so much for that tour. Now, Jesse, give us your tour and how you would characterize the 106th legislature.
I would say, you know, just about everything that Emily just said.
Similar stops.
But, you know, I think we saw often, you know, during the legislative session, you hear people, you know, talk about, you know, no one works together, no one gets anything done. And you'll usually hear lawmakers say, well, you know, actually, we pass a lot of bipartisan bills. The thing is, they're just not very high profile bills. It's, you know, things taking care of local ordinances or, you know, things that just don't make the headlines and aren't controversial. But this year, we did see a lot of really high profile bipartisan work. That may be because lawmakers are feeling the pressure a little bit with new maps coming to, you know, get some stuff done and be able to work together. You know, like Emily said, you know, that Monday count bill, it seemed like it was going to be a slam dunk. You know, really a lot of bipartisan support for that and just didn't make it to the Senate. And the right of first refusal, it was the most lobbied bill. It, like, by far, the number of lobbying hours outpaced other legislation, including the alcohol bill and the shared revenue bill. So to see those not get a vote was definitely interesting.
I'm going to throw one more thing in the mix here. We have new legislative district maps. So we saw the Assembly and Senate, you know, pass the governor's proposed maps. You know, what do you make of that that roller coaster, Emily? And what are you watching for?
Yeah, I mean, roller coasters, put it lightly, too, because I think none of us as political reporters would have imagined that it would come down to Republicans passing Evers maps without any changes. Now, don't forget, they, of course, tried to at first, the first go around, to make what they called very slight changes to protect many Republican incumbents. But in the end, I think they either were concerned that if they went to the court, there could be even, you know, more favorable changes to Democrats. So they were kind of in this corner where this might be the last resort that we go with. And that's what they did. So I thought that was surprising. So, but you're right, though. I mean, this was another thing where we saw kind of lawmakers put their political differences aside to get this big issue done. I think going forward, there's so many questions ahead. And I think the biggest one with the new legislative maps right now that is in the news is, what are the rules going to be around future recall elections? Of course, we know there is an effort that continuously that is going to be pushed to try and oust Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We know signatures turned in last week after an initial review said that number fell short. But I think, it, you know, looking ahead, there's still going to be questions of if there is another recall, or, you know, even we have an empty state Senate seat that's usually heavily Democrat after a state Senator Lena Taylor left to serve in the Milwaukee County Court. You know, what happens to those? Are we going to use the old maps, the new maps? I think it's going to be an issue that would likely be decided by the state Supreme Court, and kind of questions ahead. Is that the body that should be deciding this going forward?
Jesse, what comes up for you in the thorny issues going ahead with the legislative maps?
Yeah, I mean, I think Democrats found themselves asking, you know, what's the catch here? Is are Republicans playing a trick, or do they have something up their sleeves? And I think, you know, the simple answer is Republicans saw this as the least worst option for them out of the possible outcomes that could have come from the court. There was definitely some pressure from Democrats, particularly in D.C., I would say, against Governor Tony Evers to not sign the maps, but which he obviously did. Going forward, I think, you know, an interesting thing that, you know, it comes up anytime there is redistricting is the incumbents that are potentially pitted against each other. Do you have, you know, people who decide not to run? Do you have incumbents who end up having to run against each other? And do you see candidates sort of start to moderate a little bit as primaries are maybe less of a driver because the maps are more competitive? You might see, I think, you know, the maps that we have, and it's, you know, not unique to Wisconsin, but, you know, primaries end up being really, really important. And I think pushing candidates on both sides of the aisle to sort of the partisan extremes. And as the maps become more competitive in the general elections, we might see that come back to the center a little bit.
We're talking with a pair of statehouse reporters about the legislature wrapping up its scheduled floor votes. Jesse O'Poyen there from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Emily Fannin from WDJT-TV. You can join in. Questions and comments, reflections on the legislative session. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jesse, before we move on, I just want to give a moment to shared revenue and boosting the amount of money that the state shares with local communities. You know, City of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County was in a financial crisis, and then there is shared revenue that passes this legislature. What will the impact be like?
I mean, it'll be huge for not just for Milwaukee, but for really local government throughout the state. You know, as Emily mentioned earlier, this is money that is used to fund just basic local public services, emergency services. This is just running local government. So, you know, there's not really a community that's not going to benefit a little bit from this. And for Milwaukee in particular, it really kind of rescues them from a fiscal cliff that they were about to fall off.
Well, let's move on. Emily, last week, the Senate fired 8 Democratic appointees. In total, Senate Republicans have rejected 21 of Evers' nominations since 2019. What is significant about rejecting appointees to various commissions and boards?
Well, it's just setting kind of a new precedent that we haven't seen before. You know, to be fair, this is for Republicans, a power that they have had for a very long time. They get the final say, get the final check mark on these individuals, who most of them are volunteers to do these positions. But as you know, politics is, things are becoming more political. So in a sense, Republicans are kind of using this power in divided government to say, hey, you know, if we find something wrong in your background, or you were a longtime Democratic supporter or fundraiser, we don't believe, in their words, that they can be nonpartisan on some of these boards. What I thought was very interesting on the final day too, specifically about some of these appointments, were to the Judicial Commission, because prior to Tuesday's floor session, it's believed that the state Senate has never voted down a nominee to that body. And it's about 46-year history. So in kind of one day, Senate Republicans knocked out four of another on the Judicial Commission. And of course, in another flurry of other rejections that we saw, that kind of just continues to lower the bar on the grounds to reject an executive branch nominee. You know, it's just fascinating to watch that this has been a real challenge. But on the other hand, once someone gets rejected, Governor Evers is kind of firing right back and saying, well, if you don't like that person, I got someone, you know, next in line to serve in this role. But it's been really fascinating just to watch, because, you know, some of these individuals, you know, it could just be something that, you know, you didn't even really think was almost on your rap sheet, that in the past, lawmakers wouldn't be so nitpicky about. But, you know, like I said, I mean, rightfully so, they have this power to do this. And this is kind of how they like to serve, as kind of like their check and balance on state government. We also see it too with the Joint Finance Committee. You know, they approve state budgets. They, you know, slated money, for example, $125 million to fight PFAS, forever chemicals, and drinking water and groundwater. Yet the money is, you know, there. It's, but Joint Finance, if they're not going to like the plan, it's a committee, the budget committee that's controlled by Republicans, if they don't like it, they're going to shoot it down. So it's kind of, in a sense, I also see how Republicans are kind of clinging on to the powers that they have in divided government as well.
Jesse, two people in particular, John Miller and Dana Wachs, were members of the Board of Regents of the Universities of Wisconsin system, were two appointees rejected. What are Republicans saying about their reasoning for these firings in particular?
Not much, actually. you know, there have been, to Emily's point on the Judicial Commission, we did hear some actual reasoning on that from the chair of the committee that heard those. And he had concerns about just their knowledge of the committee in general and their ability to be nonpartisan on it. We really haven't heard much of anything about why the regents were rejected or most of the other appointees. You know, another interesting stat to throw out there: since 2019, the Senate has rejected 21 nominations. Prior to that, between 1981 through 2018, they had only rejected four. So we're really seeing this ramp up quite a bit. And some of them we hear conversation about, and some of them they just kind of, they throw them out without a lot of explanation.
We have journalists who cover state politics and government, Jesse O'Poyan at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Emily Fannin at WDJT-TV. You can be part of the discussion about proposals you followed this legislative session, discussions you followed. Call in with a question. Share your perspective. 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Assembly and Senate stand adjourned. We discuss measures that gained traction at the end of scheduled floor votes this year in the legislature. And you can be part of the state politics conversation. Call in with a question, add your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Emily Fannin is here, Capitol reporter for WDJT-TV and co-host of Wisconsin Eyes Rewind. Jesse O'Poyan is state government and politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let's go to Jack in Madison now. Jack, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Kate.
Morning, good morning,
guest. So a development that I recall seeing from earlier in this legislative session was the push to create a Wisconsin film office and tax incentives to bring Hollywood studios to shoot in our state. I might have mentioned that on an episode of Central Time, but I thought that was interesting because I didn't necessarily expect a bipartisan effort in the assembly to come together to make that happen. And so I was curious if your guests had more insight into that. And then my other point before you turn it over to them is, seeing as there's been a bit more cooperation on the bipartisan level in the state legislature, I wondered if part of that had to do with the fact that now that we have new maps, the current structure that Republicans in the legislature were operating with was kind of on borrowed time. So either way, they know that things are going to look a little different in the next few election cycles. So wondered how much of that was the case as well.
Jack, thank you so much for calling in those insights. Emily, I'm going to toss to you on the film credits because you were writing about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did a story on that. And just, you know, to be clear, the bill didn't come out till much later, Jack, in the legislative session. But there was a lot of talk of it. So I think that's one of the main reasons we just didn't see this larger push to get it across the finish line. It was also a conversation that's been, you know, of the lawmakers that I spoke to, that's been going on for almost the past 15 years. It was almost 16 years ago, I believe, is when the last time Wisconsin offered tax incentives like this to make Wisconsin more lucrative for film production, producers, reality TV, I mean, the whole gambit. So now that it's bipartisan, I think we could definitely see this something as an issue that reemerges next legislative session. So I definitely wouldn't call it, you know, dead. It's definitely very, very much alive, but it's taken a long time to convince, at least what I hear, many Republicans to get on board with this, because this is something that the Governor Walker's administration actually got rid of after there was kind of this failed effort when Public Enemies, which is, of course, had some infamous shots and filmed here in Wisconsin, they got a huge tax incentive that didn't really help out the state as much. They were promised to bring in much more money than they originally did. So it kind of gave the tax incentives a bad look. So they're trying to restructure that image once again. And of course, they've tweaked the kind of the guidelines and the thresholds of how film production companies would meet in order to get tax incentives. So definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on in the next legislative session if they can get it done.
Okay, watching down the road there. And Jesse, the other comment about the maps, Jack making a point that, Republicans cooperating because they feel like the current power structure is on borrowed time. We heard the governor saying now the legislature will be up for grabs. Will it?
To a degree, yes. You know, it certainly would have been a much more dramatic situation if there was an element of the MAPS lawsuit that would have actually put every single member of the legislature up for re-election. The court opted not to go that route. So you'll have everyone in the assembly up for re-election, but only half of the Senate. So there's less to be gained for Democrats than might have been originally, but there's certainly, everything's on the table. And I do think it's a little bit of both. It's certainly the thought of the new maps coming down the pike, but also it's, you just see such an increasingly the public is increasingly frustrated with the inaction that comes from government at every level. And it was a little bit different under complete Republican control because they could pass a lot of things, but under divided government, things move slower. And I think legislators are starting to sense that the public is a little frustrated with that.
Jesse, are there any high profile bills that surprised you that died during this legislature? We heard Emily bringing up a couple. Anything for you there that you were surprised met an end?
Yeah, there were a few. There was an effort from a Madison assembly member to create a task force to study violence against Black women and girls. It received just overwhelming bipartisan support in the assembly. We know that disparities exist in that regard, and they're especially bad in Wisconsin. So there was a lot of support to get that through, but it got held up in the Senate. There were a lot of lawmakers on both sides of the aisle who were pretty frustrated about that. Similarly, so that got held up in the Senate. On the assembly side, there was a lot of support for a bill that would have extended postpartum Medicaid coverage. Again, a lot of support, a lot of bipartisan support. The governor governor supported it, but that failed to cross the finish line in the assembly.
Jesse O'Poyen at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Emily Fannin at WDJT-TV, as we talk with two State House reporters about the legislature wrapping up its scheduled floor votes. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Nate in Milwaukee is here. Nate, hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me this morning. I was going to run through two quick things. The first is, it sounds like members of the legislature rejecting some of Governor Evers' appointments are basically playing politics even more and possibly trying to engage in censorship. The other is, I want to ask about any proposed state constitutional amendments. I make a habit of voting any of them that I see on the ballot, and I understand that some are being proposed this year, including trying to ban local governments from accepting nonprofit grants to help do their elections, which strikes me as odd because that's not going to change the votes. And if there are people so short-staffed that voters can't have full access to the ballot, that's actually a problem in trying to undermine people's ability to get their votes in.
Nate, thank you for the call. Jesse, what do you see happening in the area of constitutional amendments?
Sorry, you can't, for just a second there, you asked about the constitutional amendments?
Yes,
Yep. So yeah, the private funding bill is definitely a controversial one. So this stems back to some grants that went out, particularly during the pandemic, from an organization that receives a lot of funding from Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. The bulk of that money went to the state's five largest cities to help them run elections during the pandemic. Those cities happen to trend Democratic, so there is some concern from Republicans about that. So they call it the Zuckerbucks Amendment. I'll be curious to see how voters feel about that. We haven't really gotten a lot of sense of what the public sentiment is on that. You know, these local communities definitely have needed help in running elections. So I think their response would be, if you're going to ban, you know, these private grants, then the state's going to need to chip in more to help us.
And Emily, I just want to toss to you here in the last few moments about how you see constitutional amendments trending in the Republican-controlled legislature.
Yeah, it's definitely that we're seeing become a popular option among Republicans, given that this is their avenue to get measures across the finish line, get it on the ballot before voters, by skirting Governor Tony Evers' veto pen. So he cannot veto constitutional amendments that are a little bit more difficult than just passing a regular bill in the state legislature. They have to pass two consecutive sessions. So usually takes, you know, a little over 2 years for these efforts to get through. And then they are basically have to be implemented before voters. It's becoming more popular.
Yeah, they skirt the governor's desk. I want to thank both of you for joining us and for this recap. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Jesse O'Poyen, state government and politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Emily Fannin, WDJT-TV. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.